You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Are tuned into the Daily Traditionalist, and Matthew Heidmark is once again not here. I promise y'all, he is trying to find his way back. He's lost for a few days here. He's trying to get some things in order with his financial situation, which is always precarious, but we always manage to pull through as a family and as comrades. But you are stuck today with myself, Matt Parrott, and my completely equal co-host, Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. How are you doing, Dr. Johnson?
I'm reveling in the equality. I appreciate that.
Yes. Yeah, there's absolutely no way I could ever put myself above you here. I know Sven told me I was the lead host, but I started thinking about that. I was like, that simply won't do. We are complete equals here, if not me being beneath you.
I could do either one of those.
Well, we'll get through it one way or another. But you've been doing this podcasting. You were one of the people who inspired me to podcast originally, way back in the day on VOR, back when Heimbach was still a radio rainbow Confederate back in high school. So we go way back
before the beard, yeah. poor kid.
Before he was even able to grow a beard.
Well, you know, I mean, we just inspire each other because, you know, when I kind of went out of commission after 2014, it was you and Matt that kicked me in the rear and got me broadcasting again. And you know, you paid for the website and everything else. So this is we've been doing this for each other for a long time. So this is equality in extreme level. The Stalinists have nothing on us.
Yeah, I remember. Well, everybody, long after you were gone, even before I started, that's why I put all your podcasts back up, because I kept getting emails constantly, like at least like once every other week. There was this sad little email about how can I get Matt Johnson's podcast from VOR? Do you know where I can find them? And finally, I was like, I'm going to put these together. And, you know, they're still at the Tri-Deeth website. They're still after all these years getting traffic. So that's excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're evergreen. You know, I do that on purpose. You know, they're good all the time. They're historical topics, and you know, it's the only copy in existence. But that's like three computers ago. I don't even know where that stuff is. I have no idea what happened to the Voice of Reason, Mike Connor, to this day. And so you guys saved it.
No one knows what happened to Mike Connor. That's a mystery. I'd like to one day just see him bubble up someday and be nasty with me, or however he would be with me, because I know he was frustrated with everybody, right? Because we were all running a podcast network is one of the most miserable jobs in the world. You know, if you think herding cats is hard, the one thing more difficult to herd are arrogant, silly podcasters. So,
no doubt true. You know, I drive Sven crazy.
Oh yeah. So wherever he is, I've even prayed for him because it just seemed mysterious, and I half suspect he's not with us anymore. I really don't know. I hope he is. And he's just burned out on politics, but he's happy somewhere. I just don't know. Nobody knows where Mike Connor is.
This is the thing. Yeah, my first impression that, yeah, he's gone. It's been so many years. He got in financial trouble, and then he has completely disappeared. But usually, you know, they come back at some point, and he hasn't. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know how old of a guy he was. We talked all the time. I didn't know anything about him, really.
He was in his early 50s, and yeah, I know he definitely had some problems with depression, so I fear the worst. But either way, he definitely certainly put in his time for the nationalist cause. That's one thing that's for sure. Wherever he's at right now, even if he's found himself a Filipino wife or something, is in the Philippines somewhere, I wish him the very best, because he's definitely put in his time.
I agree. And he's the one who almost forced me to do it. You know, he sent me the equipment because he knew I'd be too lazy to send it back, but I would be too guilty just to keep it. And so that's the reason I did it, because I had turned him down 100 times and I had no idea. I didn't think I'd come off on podcasts well at all, but it's the best known thing I've ever done. It's insane. People are crazy.
Oh yeah. He did the same thing with me. He didn't actually send me any equipment, but he sent me like a 100-page book on how to improve your speech patterns, which as the listeners know, I obviously didn't read because I'm still doing the uhs and the pops and the all the time, but he tried to coach me with that. We'll dedicate this podcast to the memory of Mike Connor.
Yeah, alive or dead, I totally agree with you. Yeah, yeah, he's a good guy, or was a good guy.
If you're listening out there, Mike Connor, nothing but love.
That's right.
He could be out there. He could be out there with all kinds of opinions about what we're up to. But anyway, have you been following this? I just heard about it, but apparently, like everything else, everybody already knows about it but me. My wife is also more on top of everything than me now. It's very frustrating. But this Dinko Velev guy in Bulgaria?
I haven't kept up with him.
He's kind of new on the scene.
The helicopter guy, I have not read about him yet.
Apparently some sort of real-life superhero, and he's actually going around hunting these illegal invaders into Bulgaria, much to popular approval. And I guess he's got himself a helicopter now. He appears to be independently wealthy, but before he was doing this, he was like saving all kinds of children and doing all kinds of heroic stuff. He just goes around being a big hero with his money.
It's a shame I haven't been keeping up with him. As soon as we're finished here, I'm going to read up on him. He's definitely worth more of a mention. But it's no surprise. You know, you can get inexpensive old Soviet military surplus there for, you know, a few dollars. Bulgaria is a member of the EU, which is ridiculous, since they don't meet any of the qualifications of it. So the whole thing is completely artificial, and the population is disappearing. The oil is almost gone. The EU has destroyed that country, and this will be the end of it unless something is done. And that's why this guy is so popular.
Well, they've got it. From what I gather, Bulgaria is kind of a shining light of a lot of nationalist, strong nationalist and anti-Semitic wokeness. From what I've read, I think it's the Attaka Party is making progress there. So I don't know. I try not to gather, you know, make too many stereotypes about which country to find hope in or which country to give up on, because, you know, you'll just be surprised. And I remember growing up, like when I was a teenager and even a young adult, it was like the French surrender monkeys and all that. And I remember laughing along with the neocons because France didn't want to go into the war with Iraq, the war on Iraq. And you know, that's not fair to France. And we see today that in a lot of ways, you know, the French are trying to find their way back to tradition, are trying to rediscover their identity. And in World War II, it was more complicated. They sort of pretended they were cowards at the end of World War II to cover up the fact that they were sort of colluding and cool with the Axis powers, was a more accurate analysis. You know, the entire, you know, anything the Jews tell you is you just assume it's bullshit until proven otherwise, I guess. But I don't know.
That's how it is these days.
Yeah. But this guy, this migrant hunter, he has a bounty on his head by ISIS. So I guess that's the American government doesn't like him. He actually patrols with this helicopter gunship for potential jihadis. He's 29 years old. He's a former semi-professional wrestler who was shown chasing terrified migrants through the woodlands along with other armed vigilantes. So that's the kind of moxie we need.
I'm embarrassed that I haven't read about him yet.
Well, he just started bubbling up here. I'm just hearing about him all over the place. He's gone viral here. But this really is an opportunity for some of our younger listeners. What this guy's doing, you're out there, you probably don't have the money for it. And America, it's not quite as easy to, you know, get some old Soviet equipment and get away with it. And, you know, chase people around with helicopters. It's not like Bulgaria. But there really is an opportunity in today's world with how everything's changing to really be a hero in this general anti-globalist struggle, wherever you're at. And you know, I talked about this yesterday. Go ahead.
I was going to say, there's no question about it. Either we rise to the challenge or Europe is finished. I still haven't wrapped my brain around what condition Paris is in, and even places to the north of it. And this is being done on purpose, you know, and I still haven't wrapped my brain around the fact that there's areas that are now totally gone, lost. The Norwegian police departments have given up entire cities or regions of cities because this is a military operation. And you're also right to say that ISIS, I mean, there's still people out there who believe that ISIS is this independent guerrilla organization that's sprung up with its own currency and tanks and tanker systems and economic infrastructure out of nowhere. Believe it or not, there's still people who hold to that view.
Well, it's just so comically over the top. It seems like something out of a comic book. And in a lot of ways, it is, because it's inspired by, you know, all these Western people who needed to create an evil Islamist force. Right. So, you know, it's kind of the parody and art become, you know, reality. It's a disorienting time to be alive, Dr. Johnson. That's all I got to say about that. But
well, you know, this is my whole mission. I mean, you look around, and you think everything is miserable. We're all, you know, financially precarious, all but you, apparently.
Yes.
I'm in all kinds of trouble, I have a certain clarity here. Once you get the foundations finished, you know what the New World Order is, what the regime is, the spiritual foundations, the economic foundations, everything else kind of falls into place. The key is not caring what people say to you and not allowing your self-interest to interfere with your analysis. And if you could do that, truth isn't really that hard to find. ISIS is a simple case. I was the first one to attack them as absolutely ridiculous. It is a comic book, Hollywood, a bad guy. Even down to the two S's in ISIS, which they always use for the snake sound, and wearing black in the desert. That's my favorite. You know, and it's so ridiculous. They're rubbing their nose in it. This is what the Westerns needed. They needed some reason to continue this war. And so and all the stories about killing babies, which, you know, is never true, because no normal, even insane guys don't kill babies. So this is what they needed. The war effort was flagging. There's no money in the U.S. for this, and so they created this Hollywood concept, filmed these terror scenes in the Pentagon, and actually have convinced everyone. All elite media still says that there's this war on ISIS as this independent organization.
Well, it really is boggling, but it seems like people aren't falling for it, though. Like, I remember... You remember how it was like back in 2006, 2007? We're both getting very old here. We remember when the media would present these narratives and everybody would just buy them, would just take them. And we're sort of, you know, people aren't as far along as they need to be, right? And not as many people are as far along as we would like to be. But you can't really deny that people are developing a resistance, a suspicion, a skepticism, and even an outright hostility to any institutional narrative.
That's extremely well put. If you go to any YouTube video on these guys, if you go to any mainstream news source where they're reporting on them, they go to the comment section, no one's buying it. And they all are pretty much saying the same thing. There's this radical disconnect between media and academics on the one side and ordinary people on the other. It's getting ridiculous. I don't think the media believes this stuff, but you know, they have a good gig and they're not going to ruin it, especially in economic uncertainty. But these comment sections are a wonderful reading. They're the best because no one is buying this crap. 9/11, people bought it almost right away, largely due to ignorance. But even now that's fallen apart. The web is to blame, and commentators. I'm one of these people. Who has continued to fight on and just made sense and won every debate we were ever in. We were having an effect. It's actually working. And that's something else I can't wrap my brain around.
I remember there's this old comic. It's very old. It's, you know, it's this guy at the computer. His wife is telling him to go to bed. And he's like, I can't go to bed. There's still somebody. There's somebody who's wrong on the internet. And I almost feel like we're entering. We've actually been at it so long that we're finally, you know, getting to the last of the people who are wrong on the internet. And I may live to see the day where the last person who's wrong on the internet has been defeated in an argument, and we can just win the internet, and it'll all be over. There'll be nobody wrong on the internet.
That's so true that it's not even funny. And I actually may have actually uttered that phrase at one time. But you know, I never liked people. I never trusted Americans. I thought they were idiots. And yet, despite the attacks on Trump, for example, during the last election cycle, they voted for him. They went through the gamut of the physical attacks on them and threats, and voted for him in huge numbers. So that, you know, there is a way, as you said already, there is a way for real heroism here, and ordinary people are doing it. I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's true.
Well, and not just necessarily chasing down jihadis and attack helicopter stuff, but, you know, like I was talking about yesterday, like 4chan is actually organizing webcam patrols along the border, and systematically, you know, these losers in their basements, as the media would like to depict them, are actually making a huge geopolitical difference in so many cases, you know, in pushing for Donald Trump's light. And now they're actually helping Trump secure the border by sitting there and watching for illegals and developing pattern recognition technology on the video, so they don't have to sit and watch the same camera all day. And which is funny, because the government's been telling us for decades now that they simply don't have the technology to catch these people. It just would require too many lasers and all kinds of advanced, you know, satellite wizardry. And you know, you've got these hobbyists with webcams and their laptops and stuff, who are just sort of crowdsourcing defending our nation's border, which to me is just so effing beautiful. I can't even put it into words watching all this.
I agree. The system is ruining the day that it permitted us to have the web, because I don't know what we would do without it. They are ruining that day. It was initially a military application, and they give it out to the public, and you've had entire careers being made being a media commentator outside of the mainstream media. Now, it is true, though, that about 75% of news searches are going to CNN and Fox and stuff like that. But majorities don't make history. There's enough motivated people that are blowing these narratives away and doing things like this and not caring about being mocked and called, you know, in the basement and all this other kind of garbage, simply not caring anymore, and creating their own world. And it's not a bad case here, and it's working. And I believe the last I checked, it's 40% decrease in border jumping over the last, since Trump was inaugurated. I think it's 40%.
Well, yeah, and that's part of that's enforcement, but a lot of that, what people don't give enough credit to is, you know, these illegal immigrants, you know, some of them are bad hombres, right? But these are ordinary working people who are coming over here for rational reasons, right? And whenever they receive word that the Americans are getting angry about the amount of immigration, that a new president is in charge who's going to crack down, you know, that their employers are likely to get nervous and start cracking down on them, a lot of them aren't going to hold out and wait until they actually get deported. A lot of them are just going to be like, you know what, we're no longer really welcome here. And, you know, Mexico, contrary to popular belief, is not a third world hellhole like people imagine. You know, it's got a relatively strong economy. It's got relatively strong infrastructure. You know, the left would like to imagine that they're all, essentially refugees coming over here. You know, that the drug cartels are decapitating them left and right, and it's not safe to be in Mexico, and that all, you know, 130 million of them are valid refugee cases, you know, and it's simply not true. A lot of them are just going back to Mexico because they're more comfortable there and it's less comfortable here, you know?
Well, another example is in the Philippines, the new president, Duterte, is talking about, you know, shooting these drug dealers and giving medals to addicts who shoot their dealers. And one of the first things that happened is 400,000 low-level dealers turned themselves in. They weren't going to, like you said, they weren't going to wait to be deported. They weren't going to wait to be shot. And all it took was one guy saying enough is enough, and low-level guys said, well, we're out then. It's just a matter of showing strength once, and they scatter. His success has been without a firing of a gun.
Right. Well, I think a couple guns might have been fired, but definitely. I think Duterte hasn't at least dispensed some justice, right?
He's going to fire guns no matter what. I mean, when he was mayor, he would go on his motorcycle and like this Bulgarian guy, very similarly. And he did. He admitted in public that he shot these drug dealers. That's why he's so damn popular. And so, yes, higher level guys, they have their own private armies. They often have American protection. It's true. You know, military operations have been used against them. But I'm talking about low level guys. They're just not, they don't want to go off to prison for the rest of their lives. And so in that sense, force wasn't used. Now, I don't know how many addicts shot their dealers, but apparently now it's legal, according to the police chief in Manila. I wish that was the case here. That would be wonderful. Our lives would have so much more meaning then if we could just kill these people. But this is what happens. One guy who says enough is enough, and that's it.
Right. There's a tremendous amount of leverage with it that people don't realize. But if you're listening out there, don't despair. We've got the momentum right now. Join the party, tradeworker.org, do whatever you need to do. Join a different party if you don't like mine. I don't care. Just get at it because this momentum, we can't take it for granted. This is a historical moment where people are awakening and listening to us, and we've got to have all hands on deck, everybody rowing this boat right now. But there's one question before I guess we're running out of time here. But I did want to ask you. Usually I listen to what you say on your podcast with other people or in your writings, and then I pass that off as my own idea in simpler form.
But since
I got you on the line right here, I'll just ask you. What should my opinion be on David Rockefeller? He passed away day before yesterday, big billionaire globalist. Was he actually really central to everything, or was he just kind of a trust fund baby who said some stupid stuff? Who is David Rockefeller?
I think if there's anyone who was an equal to a Rothschild, it would be him. Those two families, they are absolutely essential. They're worth trillions. There is no objectionable movement or concept or action that they haven't been financing or been behind. There is no liberalism, academic or otherwise, without the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation. Now, him personally, I mean, there's going to be plenty of people to take his place. His death isn't really that important. It's funny, you know, we can laugh at it, otherwise, there's going to be, that's not that significant. Someone else is going to take his place. But the family itself and these oligarchs, these are absolutely essential. Can you imagine David Rockefeller is facing God now, and that's got to be very unpleasant for him.
Well, maybe he can buy his way in. Speaking of people over 90 years old, tell me about this evil Nazi who killed at least 6 million, maybe more Jews in Minnesota. Well, what do we know about him?
Michael Karkok is his name, 98 years old. He has Alzheimer's. He lives in Minnesota. He's being accused of being a part of a Ukrainian nationalist movement, part of the SS Galician Division. And I've gone through the original document. He's been cleared by the Ukrainian government. He's been cleared by the Canadian government. And the Canadian government, one of the rare times they told Simon Wiesenthal to shut up. And stop assessing about that group of people. So this guy's already been cleared. They must really be desperate for people. He's being accused of being a part of a unit that suppressed the riots in Warsaw and in villages nearby on 23rd of July, 1944. Well, going through the history of the SS unit, they were nowhere near those areas. They were being decimated. That very day, in fact, by Soviet tanks several miles away. So this is Johnson's Law. They're just hoping no one's really going to notice and read into it. But this wasn't a police unit. And and the Ukrainian government, to their credit, has come to this guy's defense, saying that the Polish, and this is not the Jews necessarily, this is the Polish government, their Institute for Eternal Remembrance or something like that. Robert Janicki is the head of it. It's the main commission for the prosecution of crimes against the Polish nation, is the name of this thing. They work with the Wiesenthal types as well, but this is the worst case I've ever come across. There's no evidence. They're trying to claim that these old grainy photographs can be matched with his photograph today. And I'm seeing newscasts and headlines where this man is 100% certainty. This man is absolutely this Volk or Wolf who killed babies. They always mention babies in there, which is a dead giveaway. You know, it's not true. In these villages during the Warsaw Uprising in 1944. Nothing makes sense about it. They weren't there. And, you know, the big question is then, you know, why are they going to, 98 years old, Alzheimer's, what is the point of this? The only thing I can think of is that the Wiesenthal types are still, they want the word to be clear that anyone who fights the left is going to be treated this way and there's no escape for them. And that's really, but there's some property that they're going to try to recover in Ukraine too from this. There's simply no evidence, you know, they're going to torture this guy in his last years. And the worst part, of course, is the media not knowing anything about it, having no clue what the Galician division is in the SS, are saying that this man has already been convicted and he's a Nazi war criminal living in Minnesota in his last years. So it's sad. It's outrageous. And that's the only thing I can think of as to why, what's motivating this. It's a distraction, if nothing else.
Well, it makes sense to me. Are you, you're surely not, because you don't suffer from the same syndrome I suffer from. But are you familiar with Rocco's Basilisk, which is this dorky thought experiment where there's an evil robot in the future that's going to be designed. And if you don't help design him, he will torture you forever and keep you alive forever just to torture you. Okay, that's supposed to be like a terrifying mind riddle, right? Like, you know, because if you don't serve it, if you don't help create it, you'll be one of the people tortured. So do you help create it? Or do you just ignore the riddle? In which case, since you've heard about it, as soon as you've heard about it, in fact, I just expose you right now to the risk of permanent, you know, internal torture over and above what we've all already been exposed to. But in a lot of ways, there is an added value in chasing these people down well into their 90s and into, you know, even into their hundreds or whatever, because it sends a message to anybody who would dare defy Jewish power that there will be no quarter.
And it just doesn't matter. And evidence doesn't matter here. And he's going to be tried in a Polish court that's already declared him guilty. And the U.S. is not going to fight this. He's been clear already. I mean, coming over now, he did lie about his membership in the SS or in this. He was a Ukrainian Defense Force unit, but he was part of the SS. He wasn't actually an SS soldier. They're claiming that he was a top commander. He never went above the second lieutenant. I mean, they can't even make that distinction. And this is headline news now that this guy's absolutely guilty. So the only thing I can come up with is just that anybody who's, and you know, we're fighting Antifa now all the time, and the system is saying, you know, you fight Stalin, you fight these Antifa people, and we're going to treat you the same way. And this is what your life is going to be like.
Right. Yeah. It's a very psychopathic, you know, revenge and resentment oriented that could never possibly forgive. You know, they always talk about forgive, but never forget. Well, it's clear from situations like this. So they're not interested in forgiving or forgetting. But are the historical documents that they've got legitimate? Because there's so much very specious documentation from World War II, especially on the Eastern Front, as I understand.
And you remember the Demyanyuk case, the other Ukrainian that Pat Buchanan was defending. I was in college at the time. It's very similar. Terrible case. His alleged SS card it didn't even use the lightning bolts. It was just two Latin S's. It was so badly done. It was such a fraud. I've seen the documents here, but I know the history of it. You know, mainline historians all over the place know exactly where this group was at the time. They were fighting the second Soviet air army, actually. And they were fighting the independent tank brigade, Pashkura, the Soviet 91st Brigade. They know exactly where they were at the time. So there's no evidence here at all. It's just a couple of eyewitnesses who claimed that in 1944 they saw this guy killing babies in this village just outside of the of Warsaw. It's laughable.
Right. Huh. Well, is there any hope for him getting off the hook? We're running out of time here, but what's his future look like? Does he have any hope?
Yeah, the Ukrainian government's actually been very good here. For all their BS in the past, they're not going to tolerate this. Poland was the imperial overlord for Ukraine for many centuries, and there's no love lost between those two people, and they're not going to tolerate this. The Canadian government has already come down on his side, but who they're going up against? The U.S. is not going to stand in the way of this, but chances are he'll die before anything even happens, if stress is from nothing else. And how could he even testify with severe Alzheimer's? So the whole thing is just a joke. It's a message to all of us, really, what it comes down to.
Right. That's despicable. Well, I'll be praying for him. But we are out of time. Thank you very much, Dr. Johnson. And I want everybody who's listening to this podcast, directly after hearing me say this, you need to go to rustjournal.org, scroll halfway down the site, and you'll see a donate button. I want everybody to donate $14.88 to this gentleman right here, because he produces the most original content, the most groundbreaking content, and so much of what you hear from myself and other people is actually derivative of Dr. Johnson. So you can put fuel directly into the tank of this revolution that we're having right now by going to rustjournal.org. Thank you very much for co-hosting as a complete equal on the show today, Dr. Johnson, and hail victory.
Tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArea.com.